Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Sam.
And we're too tall for stormtroopers.
This is a podcast where we talk about all the nerdy things that we like.
From 80s nostalgia to the present day, we love it all.
And this is not a spoilers-free zone.
All right.
So,
special Sunday compact edition of Too Tall.
Yeah. Here on a different day, trying something new, because I've got to go away. So
out into the wild.
Oh, yeah. Really the wild from what I hear, so
yeah.
So what's been going on this week?
I had a little bit of burnout this week. I sort of hit a patch last night where it's time to watch some things, and
oh yeah,
I don't even know what to do. I'm a bit light on pickups.
Okay.
Except for I went out and scored myself a nice new Grimlock in a pack Age of Extinction Grimlock, but looks a lot like the original.
Oh, that's alright.
Which sort of is why, yeah, I bought the thing. There was a nice little special down at Target, so I picked up a few Transformers.
From what I heard in that film, he wasn't, like, he didn't even talk.
Mm.
Like, you know, in the G1 cartoon, he was kind of dumb, and, you know, yeah, we all love Grimlock.
Grimlock King, yeah.
Yeah, and in this one, apparently, he just roars, and Optimus rides him along like a horse.
Get the No, you don't ride Grimlock.
Oh, yeah, he rode Grimlock.
Well, I haven't seen it somewhere.
Yet. This is like I was talking about last week, though. I'm thinking about watching it, but I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah. Mm. Grimlock's like a really cool character in the comics.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the speech problem is a pro. I can't remember if it's because Shockwave experimented in him, or I can't say it. Scorponic.
Scorponok, was it?
Like the Scorpion. He's like the Mr. Sinister of bloody Transformers. Okay. Anyway.
Because I remember Scorponok was in the very end of G1.
Well, maybe I was saying that.
But I thought he was pretty cool. Like, I was disappointed he wasn't with the Decepticons the whole time, so.
Yeah, it was sort of like the Nazi scientists of,
oh, yeah,
of the Decepticon world, I guess.
Alright.
But yeah, like, Grimlock's great, and the Dinobots, and...
Yeah, I did enjoy the Dinobots when they showed up in G1.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic characters. They're fantastic figures. And, like, I'm reading... I think I'm in Vol 2 of Robots in Disguise right now. And they're all back on Cybertron, but the Dinobots kept the Earth form. So they're still...
Oh, okay.
Alt Mode is still a dinosaur, which is awesome. But Grimlock's off somewhere else at that point.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, but the figure's great. I picked up some... picked up a Thundercracker. I've never had a Thundercracker before. He's really awesome character.
Nice.
And like a shitty Optimus Prime that came in that pack of Grimlock. I don't really.
Oh, know. Yeah.
I hit an old man moment. I'm sitting there with the damn instructions out trying to transform my Transformers. It's just not the same. I couldn't get it done without help. But,
oh, damn.
But yeah. I've been trying to, like, I had a few misses. There's a G1 Optimus and different things I was trying to win on eBay over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine I used to work with has the original G1 Optimus, and like, last time I saw him, I said, get that shit valued and see how much you could be getting for it. I know he doesn't want to sell it, but...
Loose.
Yeah, I mean, just out of curiosity anyway. Be interesting to know what you're going after.
You're going to start... Loose, you're going to start looking heavily at quality, I think, at the moment. And I might be wrong, it's not really my area, but...
Yeah.
In a store, maybe about $300.
Yeah.
For a very good one.
And that's still not bad for a loose toy that you've had since you were a kid.
Mm. I'm talking for an absolute very good one with all the parts, all the hands. Like,
yep.
The hands can come out, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what I would probably ask.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get at least $200 for a good one. But
even still.
It's a really rapidly fluctuating sort of thing. So
for something you probably paid $20 for in the '80s.
No, you would have paid more than $20 in the '80s. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's reissues of that figure too.
Yeah.
And might even be multiple reissues of that figure.
I know this guy's got the original one, so yeah. Did you see the new Avengers trailer?
I did.
I liked it a lot. Are you more excited than you were last week?
Yeah, more than the last one.
Because last week we talked about the poster coming out. You weren't too excited, so...
Well, it was just a bit samey and a bit boring, the poster. Yeah.
I liked... I would like a bit more focus on the new guys in this trailer, though, I think.
I think there's something that's also a bit obvious when you've got that moment of the swarm of Ultrons.
Yeah.
What do we call them? These minions or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Converge on them and they're all in that compact group.
Yep.
And they're horrendously outnumbered and everything looks shit. And the mind immediately predicts the next part of the story, which is, oh, this is where Scarlet Witch stops time or something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Or Quicksilver, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Gets his way through there.
Yeah.
But that's probably the moment of intervention where they swap sides. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Yeah. What do you think of James Spader for Ultron?
Yeah, why not?
Mm. I like that's James Spader. Creepy. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's definitely bringing a different sort of creepy vibe to the character than, you know, what he was in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, where he's just sort of robotic and, you know. That's a series everybody needs to check out, I think, especially if you're a Marvel fan.
Yeah, I was also getting a first look at Vision as well. Was great.
Yeah, I'm a big Vision fan because of Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
He was only in the second half of the second series, but you know what he was there for. He's really awesome. So
I've never been too much of a fan, but it could be really interesting in that book.
Yeah,
in the film. Sorry.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Vision.
It's piped up the curiosity. It's really, and I don't know if I talked about this last week, but now we're getting another look at the Hulkbuster armor.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Sideshow has released, they're releasing.
Oh, yeah.
The figure, or not, the, I guess it's
I
a
might have seen that,
Sideshow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look really good. There is a bit of concern about the quality control over at Sideshow at the moment.
Okay.
Some people have been unhappy with stuff they've received.
All right.
Changes in the figure, I think, after pre-orders have gone in.
Oh, right.
And there's an online petition floating around.
Yeah, that'd be a bit annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, those are pretty expensive stuff.
Yeah. The Lego line for Age of Ultron's really nice, too. Like,
yeah.
I'm really happy to be able to get my hands on, you know, all the current Avengers from the film series and things like that, so... And there's a nice Hulkbuster set where you can just fit the Iron Man minifigure actually inside the armor, and you know, then it's fully poseable and stuff.
And it is the original Iron Man armor inside the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's worth pointing out. Not it's not a whole fresh new suit.
Yeah. They I don't like the Hulkbuster thing itself too much though, because they did a nice version in Lego Marvel. But that was a bit, it was a bit smaller. They've gone a bit bigger this time, which I think is one of Lego's current flaws. They go too big.
Mm.
Whereas, like, you know, the 99 Star Wars stuff, you had a X-Wing that was only sort of, had a wingspan of about 30 centimetres. Now you got one with a wingspan of more like sort of 50 centimetres.
Mm.
They're massive and, you know, it doesn't look so great when you're dealing on a smaller scale like that.
Do you mean like comparative size to the other figures, or
comparative to minifigures as well? Like you know, you see an X-Wing, you see Luke in the film, and it's like, oh right, you got it right the first time, Lego. What's going on?
Yeah, but, right.
I mean, some of the other stuff they're doing well. I just think it's Star Wars ships they're slightly out of whack with at the moment.
Well, they've got the Star Wars the mini version of the ships as well, don't they? I saw it. Well, I had my face in the toy aisle the other day. I noticed that there's.
Small tie-in, little micro ones.
Yeah,
yeah. Some of them are okay, but most of them are only worth it to get for the minifigure that comes with them.
Mm.
And some of the Rebel stuff is really nice that has come out recently.
Yeah.
There's a TIE advanced prototype, which featured in the last few episodes of Rebels.
Yeah, so what does the advanced prototype look like?
It's basically, you know how Darth Vader's wings are kind of longer? This one looks more like a cross between a regular TIE with the wings sort of folded down like Darth's TIE Advanced.
What's called? I think that's called like the TIE Interceptor, yeah.
No. Interceptor was had more like a C-shaped wings. Had a little hole in the middle and the guns on the ends.
Yeah.
This one's TIE Advanced, so...
Okay, yeah. So what was it? I sort of, as soon as you were speaking, I pictured the Interceptor. What's the difference again?
I think Darth Vader's one's more of a expensive, heavily armoured, sort of a more powerful guns version. In Rogue Squadron 2, you can use it in one mission, and the thing just owns. It's so powerful.
You know, I might even try and play that today.
Yeah,
I haven't gone up to that
you
yet.
Probably should.
I bought it again
yeah.
this weekend, which may have been a questionable choice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like with, my previous copy in moving got pierced.
Yeah.
The disc is okay.
Yep.
But it annoys the piss out of me sitting on the shelf with a hole in it.
Yeah.
And then the price has gone down. Like, there's been a few offered at a lesser price lately. And
oh, yeah.
I've picked one up this weekend to complete. I'm probably going to regret it and feel silly about buying another one, but...
oh, well, you know somebody will want to buy your other one, so...
Well, I hope so, yeah. GameCube, not similar as well as a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Which is sort of interesting to me.
I think there'll always be that market for the A1 titles for GameCube, but, I mean, I was in Orange the other day and I picked up Tony Hawk from another pawn shop there. That had just been hanging around there for months and months and months and months and months, and I thought, geez, that should have been gone by then, but... Oh, I got
that many versions of Tony Hawk,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, this was Underground 2, which I actually had on GameCube and loved playing on the GameCube, so... You know, I get to relive that again. So
yeah, I've got Smash Bros out there.
Yeah,
sitting on the shelf for
yeah
3 months.
I'm surprised that's there.
Yep,
really.
There. I haven't put it on eBay because it's not in perfect condition. It plays.
Oh yes.
But I guess I've been waiting to sort of figure out a way just to buff it up with the machine I have.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just the closer you, the smaller the disc, the
yeah,
the worse the. Like, I have a Disco Devil,
yep,
which does a great job on DVDs, Blu-rays, and all the full-size disc games.
Yeah.
But I'm just not satisfied with the job it does on the GameCube.
Yeah.
So I haven't been listing those things on eBay. I might just have to. And the
yeah
condition warning, yeah.
Going back to Star Wars just quickly, did you see Rebels at all?
Not at all, no.
Okay.
I haven't got there yet.
I just don't
have it in me for that story. I'm just not...
Yeah, yeah.
I think I might even go Star Wars free until the new film's released.
I totally understand that. Like, you know, I think we touched on this last week, but I had trouble picking it up because it was a whole new cast of characters. But towards the end, in the last episode, they actually bring back Ahsoka and they bring in Darth Vader. So I'm hopeful for the second season, but... I could probably just as easily drop it as I could, you know, watch it.
It's like, I've had this complaint before. It's trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Having too many Force users out there.
It's
you end up in this weird spot where you can't really have, like, and we said something last week, you can't really have a Star Wars story without a Force user.
Yeah, well that...
But they're all meant to be dead.
That was the thing with Clone Wars I didn't like, because they got Anakin an apprentice.
Mm.
And where's the happy ending for her?
Yeah, that's it. She has to
There's
die. Yeah.
Not going to be one. So,
yeah.
I mean, she gets drummed out. Well, she quits the Jedi Order and in the end of the Clone Wars anyway. But,
yeah.
I mean, there isn't going to be a happy ending after Order 66. So,
and it's sort of... It's a weird thing. That story, that backstory should be really awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's like you say, we know it has to end in tragedy.
Yeah.
Or whether it got washed over in that... Episodes 1, 2, and 3 a little
yeah
bit too much, and now we're in this zone of knowing a bit about what's going on and it knocking the interest level off that type of story.
Yeah.
But Clone Wars was successful, though.
Clone Wars was really good, yeah.
Yeah.
But was it
commercially successful?
I think so, because, you know, you see a kid's animated series, or animated series aimed at children, but... You never see them get to about 6 seasons like the Clone Wars did.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, they could have kept going on that, I reckon, no problems. I mean, when I worked at the ABC shop, you'd have all the kids coming in and just going, oh, this Clone Wars stuff over here is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give it a shot, I really do. I'll probably try that before I try Rebels.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely the better series.
And I'm curious, there's a new book coming out, or is out, I'd have to check.
Yeah.
Called Heir to the Jedi or
okay
the Jedi, so I might even
is
be able
this,
to get around to yeah the
new
continuity
canon?
Yeah,
okay.
I might give it a shot just to sort of get a frame of reference from it.
Oh, yeah,
where this film's going to be at, I guess.
there have been more rumours about the next trailer as well, about where we're going to see, you know, we're going to actually see sort of faces and things of new characters and old characters alike, so...
Awesome. They had the trading cards for the last run, didn't
yeah,
they?
That was cool. I wish that they'd actually released them, because that would have been a really kick-ass thing to actually have in your possession.
Yeah.
I mean, you could always find the pictures online, but it's not the same as actually having a proper old-style trading card.
Yeah. I wonder how they'd release something like that. What's a good...
Well, I suppose just release them in foil packets like
the old
most
way,
of the other ones, yeah.
Does anybody buy the foil pack? Oh, you still get, that's how you buy Magic cards now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think some people still buy Pokemon cards that way, but that's mainly kids as well.
Mm. You used to, like, even here in parks, I used to come in and buy trading cards. It was not that far from where we are now.
Yeah.
And it was full of all the different trading cards and memorabilia and things like that. But that's an age now.
There's a really funny story from Walt Flanagan. He tells on... Tell him Steve Dave about the time he overheard people, a guy arranging to come back to a shop to pick up Pokemon cards as soon as they came in, and Walt swooped in, stole the deal. He got back, got there 5 minutes before the guy.
Oh,
he took him back to the stash and sold him there.
Well, that's awful.
It really is. But
I don't know if I can do that.
It's kind of funny.
Oh dear. I got around to try and Transformers Prime this week.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched this at all?
No, I haven't.
Overall, I thought it was good, but I don't know if I can really sort of continue with it. I'm probably going to give it another couple of shots through the week. But Transformers Prime opens with, you know, I think we've got five Autobot characters, and a whole host of Decepticons.
Oh, yeah.
And they're on Earth without the energy to get back to Cybertron or to go anywhere good.
Was this the Cartoon Network series?
I'm not sure who put it out.
Yeah.
It's really worth checking. So we got Optimus, we got RC.
Yep.
We've got Bumblebee. And two other guys. One that I wasn't terribly familiar with.
Okay.
Like, obviously, Cliffjumper it is. And
oh, yeah.
And, oh God, well, the big green guy. There's always green guys that make me
sad. There's always a green one. Wasn't, here we are. Optimus Prime, Ratchet, RC, Bulkhead.
Oh, Ratchet, I forgot.
Bumblebee, Wheeljack.
Bulkhead's who I was trying to think of, and I'd forgotten about Ratchet. I don't know how I forgot about Ratchet, but I did.
Bring Ultra Magnus into it.
Yeah, well, later.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back in. So the first five episodes are the first arc called Darkness Rising or something like that, where Megatron's awoken. And there seems to be a whole absolute truckload of Decepticons there floating around the world on a ship.
Okay.
And there's... The storyline is that Megatron turns up with a new type of Dark Energon that allows him to reactivate cons that are dead.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's sort of like... It gives him the ability to create like a zombie army of Decepticons.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It's good. There's good and bad to it.
Yep.
Like, it's good. All the characters they picked are all great characters.
Oh, yeah.
The Decepticons are a bit rough around, sort of like, a bit rough in their design.
Okay.
Very samey. A bit of a clone trooper sort of feel that you're looking out there and you're just seeing the same sort of characters over and over.
Yeah.
Except for Megatron, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Starscream is still a whiny bitch, but that's what he has to be.
Half that shit in G1 though was so funny between Starscream and Megatron, where Starscream was just such a bloody Judas. Like, the first chance he'd be trying to stab Megatron in the back. Found all that quite amusing.
Yeah, I was watching the movie not that long ago, and then after the big fight with Prime, they're all in the back of Astrotrain trying to get back to Cybertron, and you know, the arse starts to drag on Astrotrain. They need to get rid of some dead weight. And, sorry, Megatron, you're hurt, but out you go. Throw him outside.
That's a good scene.
Oh, God.
I was a bit disappointed that they just kill off Starscream after that.
In the
movie, because he comes back as Galvatron and he's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Bye-bye to you.
Yeah.
But with Prime, the other sort of annoying thing to me personally, and I guess this is just, this is the modern version of the character, but Bumblebee still can't talk.
Oh.
It bothers the hell out of me. It's like an attempt to make Bumblebee the R2-D2 of Transformers. And Bumblebee's like a strong character. Bumblebee leads the Autobots at one point.
Okay.
And he can't even freaking talk in this cartoon. It's just...
That's a fucking movie. And
they like the baby too. It's really shits me to tears.
I mean, he always... I remember in G1, he was always sort of the younger one. That was evident, but... You know, he wasn't ever treated as a child or anything like that.
Yeah, it's in a lot of ways treated like a baby. In the, like, I think I watched 6 episodes this week.
Okay.
The good stuff is that Peter Cullen's still voicing Optimus Prime.
Oh, nice.
Just, like,
that's good.
Putting your toe in a warm bath every time you hear the man's voice. It's unreal.
Did I see Ironside there?
Ironhide,
yeah.
Perhaps later.
Yeah. That pissed me off in the movie because they brought back Peter Cullen and he voiced Ironhide as well, of course.
Mm.
But they got somebody else to voice Ironhide in the movie.
Like,
you could have had both there.
I don't know. But if you watch the opening credits to Transformers the movie, there's a lot of talent being used on the voices there. I think Hot Rod was Judd Nelson.
Yeah, yeah.
Orson Welles voiced Unicron.
Leonard Nimoy was in there too. I think
Galvatron. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was really talent heavy.
Yeah, it was.
It really was. So,
speaking of Nimoy, in his recent passing, have you seen people drawing Leonard Nimoy's face onto bank bills?
No,
I
haven't.
I really like that. Just as a goodbye to Leonard Nimoy, they're just drawing his face over whoever's face is actually on, like, a note.
Yeah.
And Canada just come out and said, it's okay, eh?
It's a real shame we'll never get another Nimoy cameo too.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of my friends had the best goodbye to him. He posted the picture of Nimoy as a head in a jar from Futurama with just the caption, "I don't do that anymore."
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the best line, especially to a Futurama fan like me.
Yeah, I fell off Futurama a while ago. But, like, I haven't caught it since it got brought back.
Yeah.
Has it stopped again since?
Yeah,
then it has?
Yeah, it's officially sort of cancelled now, but if they decide to pick it up again, then... They ended it sort of in a good point where you can definitely sort of bring it back if you need to. So
I really enjoyed the first run.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to be in the mode to watch Futurama.
The second run definitely wasn't as good because it was Comedy Central.
Mm.
I feel like Fox was doing better things with it.
Ironic, really. But yeah.
Mm, yeah. It's the only time you'll ever hear somebody say that, I think.
There's a lot of depth to Futurama too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it takes a rewatch really well.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Some things I think it's a bit too Bender heavy though. Bender's a good character, but he's always the one that they cameo in, like Family Guy, or you just see Bender. Like that scene in the Star Wars one where they're at Mos Eisley Cantina.
This Family Guy?
Yeah, no, this is Blue Harvest. Oh, really? Mm. Oh, watch that shit.
I've never been much of a Family Guy fan.
Okay. They redid the original 3 Star Wars films, and that was really amusing. In the Mos Eisley scene, you got Roger from American Dad sitting there, Bender from Futurama sitting there in another booth, and, just a generic alien in the other booth.
Yeah.
It's just a panning shot, and you just, if you catch it, it's like, there's Bender and there's Roger. So, have you been playing anything much last week?
Not a thing this week, yeah.
I've kind of gotten addicted to Terraria again.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty badly too.
I tell you what stopped me from playing this week, and this is probably going to be my big bitch of the week.
Yeah.
I was going to play games yesterday.
Yep.
I got out the laptop.
Yep.
I updated Steam because I want to play the new Civ.
Yep.
Beyond Earth or After Earth, whatever it's called.
Yep.
80 fucking bucks.
Yeah.
80 fucking Australian dollars. Kiss my ass. I'm not paying that much for any game.
Yeah. It is a bit much to ask for a digital copy early on in the piece.
I don't mind that it's digital even. It's just too much. Games cost too much.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I bought the Stick of Truth when that came out, and I even had gripes about paying $60 for that.
Yeah, I maybe could have lived with 50. 60 I'm probably going to wait. But what is that going to cost in the US right now?
Well, based on Steam, probably about the same, though.
You really think?
I would say. Yeah, it's actually on sale at the moment. Beyond Earth. Down to $71.
Is that US?
Yeah.
I really feel that's... And there's a deep games, I get it. But.
Yeah. Yeah. When I get addicted to Terraria or Minecraft or anything where you just got freedom to build and get lost in the world, I disappear.
Yeah. Did you see... And I haven't played this yet. What was the top-down... almost like an underground... sea exploration game that was really a good game this week.
You know how I feel about good games.
Yeah, okay, I'll leave it.
I did actually watch it though, just I was eating dinner and flicking through channels and I caught the end of it and they've done away with the rubber chickens.
Yeah.
Which that's just even more reason for me to say fuck you.
Why?
I love the rubber chickens.
It's just arbitrary measuring.
I know, but rubber chickens amused me, so it feels like they're getting away
from
me. There's
some time on the couch devoted to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think it's good.
Yeah. I've also picked up Pokemon again. I feel like I want 100% every single one of them. So, well, by every one of them, the main sort of story from each generation, I want to 100%. So. My friends and I made up a new challenge mode that's sort of optional, that just to make it sort of fresh again.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the new ones are, in my opinion, destroyed by the crappy story that comes along with them. There should be, you know, you spend your first part of the game mucking around, catching Pokemon, doing whatever you want, and then after that, you can start a storyline. I'll put... a quest system in there which, you know, all goes towards one goal, or, you know, it's just the story gets in the way of what Pokemon was originally about, catching all the Pokemon in that region.
Yeah, you gotta catch them all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Comic Fest next week coming up. Went and bought my tickets.
Oh yeah, nice.
Unfortunately two things are on at the same time, so I'm gonna have to miss something.
Oh, okay.
The guys that, I don't know if you've ever read Winter City.
No, Winter City, about that last week.
Yeah, those guys will be up, and some folks from that have been up previously.
Oh yeah.
There'll be some talks on making independent comics and coming up with narrative, and then there's a big, there's a big panel on the Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I'll probably close over it.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe just close for an hour to catch the one on Saturday that I want.
Nice.
King's Comics will be up, so I'll save a little bit of money. And maybe that'll be it for me until perhaps Supernova.
Yeah,
I noticed. I did want to talk about this. There's an emergence again of not necessarily flea market type things, but swap meets.
Oh yeah,
and record, toy, and comic fairs are popping up. And I've missed a few that started slowly over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I know there's one at Bendigo.
Okay,
I know there's been swap meets a lot of guys in action figure groups have come up with.
Yeah,
and these things seem to be increasing in size and starting to look like a lot of fun. So
right.
I'm going to be looking out for those.
Nice.
I know there's a flea market in Bathurst soon.
Okay.
I don't know what'll be there. But that kind of thing is probably worth checking out.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want retail for their goods these days. The access to the pricing.
That's kind of a bit of a catch, isn't it? You know, you hear about something going for a good price and then everybody thinks they're going to get that for it instead of, you know, what somebody's realistically going to want to buy it from.
Yeah. You've got to consider how regularly can you offer this item for sale? Can I have this up on eBay for a year? Am I willing to have it up there for that long?
Yeah.
That, you know, who's the market? How do I get to them? And all that kind of stuff. But also I worry, and if anybody out there is listening to this and does want to think about valuing what they have, for God's sake, check completed listings on eBay, not advertised sale. Check those things that have sold previously.
Yeah.
Under your refinements, you can move the tab over, completed listings only.
Yep.
Those that have sold will show up in green.
Okay.
And that seeps better. Yeah. And yeah. Because a lot of people demand what the highest asking price is also.
Yeah, like the example I like to use was there was an ATST from a Lego ATST that went for $700. And that was a $20 set when that came out in 2003 or 4.
Yep.
And it was a tiny little thing. And it's just two people fighting over it that had some money.
Mm.
And that's all it was in the end. It wasn't a special set or anything. It just happened that two people really wanted it.
Like, I point out in principle, say it's only those two guys, right? Now only those two guys want that set that much.
Yeah.
And what did it go for? It
700.
So $700, right? The next one that comes up,
yep.
The guy that paid 700, he's got his.
Yeah.
He's got it. So now we've got the guys that didn't want to pay $700 bidding on that set, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And that's sort of how it comes.
I get a bit tempted on eBay sometimes to play bid chicken with people.
Yeah.
It's not backfired on me yet, but sometimes somebody will piss you off by putting a big bid on it. You're like, oh, screw you, I'm going to go a dollar over what you said.
I mean, I would never begrudge somebody for wanting top dollar for something good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think you got to consider your purpose.
Yeah.
So, do I need some money quick?
Yep.
Do I want it to sell soon? Or I'm just going to wait? Do I really want to bloody sell the thing or not? A lot of guys don't want to sell it.
Yeah, I got stuck like that with some Lego I sold last year or the year before. Mm. I sold a really good lot, which I should have gotten more for. But I put a buy it now of $700 on it. This was quite a bit of stuff, like four large sets, which were $200 each.
Yeah.
Plus 20 individual clone troopers, which I got from smaller sets, and I bought those specifically to have a large sort of clone trooper army hanging around.
Mm.
And one of the Rebel sets has generic stormtroopers with no different colours or anything on them. I'm really excited about that because I'm going to buy a shitload of that set and just have a stormtrooper army.
Yep.
That'd be great. But those things, I should have gotten my $700 for it. I ended up getting about $400 on auction as well, so I thought happy with 700, leave that option there, but didn't get what I wanted in the end.
I think it's sort of self-defeating to offer both formats.
I thought someone sees a lot and goes, oh, that is worth 700 to me, then they'll grab it. But
I think it puts people on the back burner.
Yeah.
And people look at it and think, well, maybe I'll try and get it for $4. And if it looks like it's going to get close to $7, I'll come in then. Or maybe I'll just watch it and see what happens. And then they've forgotten about you.
Yeah.
I don't think people return to their watch list as much as we want them to. I
don't do it as much as I used to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I'd sort of flick back at it once a week and see what things went for. It's more of a research tool for me.
Mine's more of a reminder of stuff I want to pick up.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to, with pricing, I try to consider longevity. I sell a lot of different things, but I still want to be selling, I still want to be selling games and comics in 10, 15 years' time.
Yeah.
So there's no upside to gouging that market right now. I want a good price for things, but I don't want to be pushing the boundaries all the time of what I can get.
Yeah.
I want people to look at the store again later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, then this has been Too Tall for Stormtroopers, and I was Sam.
I'm Brendan.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.